I'm going to be really rude and read this and leg it to your home. So, and apologies to anyone that was here last week because I wrote this, it's just kind of current, so I'll do it again. I'll do it in Irish and then in English. Gealtness. Fáinne gealtness sé gan rú laistigh den inoak siopa seo dóireachta. Glinne do briste a chosint uamse. Smurgat a chur an súla na chinne se na bóhair i gufna don. Sfeili a bai. San olí na scéilta tra gaidacha, onim grá agus galar. Fahín slán ar fín na seanna bená. Haulín i bhána an bhócha an tianna héal. Smacht ar ghuina, spreir ar pósa. An gredfá a bhan fasa, gwylar yn cael dy oed o fyntio yn y tîra bydd yr chwrdio agos achternwchau sy'n lot o'n yw fan mwch roi gael y ffosa maeslyn ylis, maeslyn aynach cwr yn oenia, machala yn oma cyrclwch Promise An engagement ring shines inside the jeweler shop window Unbreakable glass protects it from me The emerald reminds me of my great-grandmother's eyes A storyteller, an expert of tragic tales, in a time when love was seen as affliction, dodgy English translation. I used to feel safe on her knee, imagining fierce days gone by, people controlled, dowries to marry. Would you believe, wise woman, that I have to seek permission from the people of Ireland, friends and strangers, in this day and age, to marry my love, my loyal Aisling, My patient Aisling, the curve of the ring, echoing cyclical time. Go on, the gays!
Alright, and with that rose and crow, we now have Tina Pisco.
Hi, I was a writer in residence back in March in a beautiful place. Called Casa Ana, which I encourage all of you to save money and go to. It's in the Alpujarra Mountains, and it's a writer's retreat. And I wrote this about Casa Ana, for Animal. Here we retreat, where almond blooms hang on black branches like miniature clouds, as if the snow caps had birthed them to mirror the sky. Here the cats rule, stalk the empty village, sleek and stealthy, prowl abandoned houses, howl and screech dominion over the few remaining souls. Here the water flows at the lavandero, though the women are long gone, leaving only worn stone and the echo of their hands. Here is not wild. It is tamed, tooled, terraced, pruned, pathed and paved, bound, built and bricked. Here there are stories. They follow the cats, pass through keyholes, swoop down steep streets, up high hills, soar above the ruined cortijo. Here I stand, looking out at the sleeping elephant, planning a garden that will never be mine. Tomatoes against that wall, lettuces in the courtyard, courgettes in containers. I close my eyes and sink into the stillness. Listen for the stories that only I can tell.
Next on the open mic we have Tony O'Shea.
I wrote this little, I think it's might be a sonnet, I don't know. But I wrote it for Jane Prendergast in the spring of last year. It's called Summer Love. To me, you are a summer day, all bright and gay and innocent. The clouds are in your soft, clear face. The sky is in your eyes. You slip your hand like a warm breeze around me. And everything is fine. To walk a day with you, my love, to know that you are mine, to
To have spent these many months with you feels like a whole lifetime. Thank you. Next we have Dean Brown. I'm sorry, that's Mary O'Connell. Sorry about that, guys.
About 5 years ago, Jupiter was closest to Earth for a long time, and I was able to see it around Flatrock Castle. They had telescopes. And thank you. So out of that came Jupiter Watch, 24th of September 2010. Black Rock Castle, turreted and dark, etches its silhouette over sleepy waters. The sky breaks open to a harvest moon, raiding bounty for the gathering of sheaves. Eyes probe the night, straining to discover the greatest of the planets, mightiest of gods. Telescopes train on a calculated quadrant, seem to want clouds to draw apart and lift. Crowds form queues, smile at the paradox. They must look down to see what hangs above. As each one bends and looks, an image cuts the icy void to spiral down and find an angled lens that redirects it to the human eye, which sees it clearly as it swings past Earth, coming closest on its 12-year path. This ball of brilliant light strings its seed pearl moons into the dark, holds their fragile arc shape to its crest. Callisto, Io, Europa, Ganymede.
Okay, next up we have Dean Brown.
This is just a little thought experiment. I invite you to try it out. First, imagine your room without you inside it. Then sit in your room, imagining yourself outside it, imagining yourself inside it, then pause for breath. As mirror nestles snugly into mirrored mirror. Now wonder how closely the self imagined by your imagined self corresponds to your actual imagining self inside the room. And be surprised by the fact of your being placed in this vast, indeterminate, infinitely realizable mess of selves and ways you might have been, reflected back and back, all pointless.
And now we have Ray Hanrahan.
Hi guys, this is one from, 10, 11 years back. We got it published in a thing called The Safe Harbor. It's called Word. Word, you're no good to me, lying dead upon the page. I would have you live afresh with each succeeding eye, setting fires in bodies and minds for generations yet to come. Word, I have work for you, and a planet campaign to march upon. We have places to go, jails to break. You'll cover up my tracks in the gap of danger. Word, my stout defense in the daily struggle, my boon companion in relaxation, my walking stick in rough country. You will not fail me yet. Not while there is breath left in me. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it appears I made another mistake, so Dean wasn't alone in that. Jude was second. Alright, so we hear from Jude.
Yeah.
So these are Bleeding Heart Monologues, Volume 1 and 2. Whiskey on the rocks, my dear. Don't know where I'm going. Messed up theories, don't give no fucks. Salted rivers flowing. I cannot tell you what I did wrong. Don't got the words, no how. But baby, I loved you more than enough. I'm done with the sweat on my brow. Whiskey flowing into the breach. Fucked up, crazy red frenzy. Who the hell are you to throw away this beautiful bleeding heart pansy? Your trite, twisted bullshit pinned my heart down. To your crap, I'll no longer bow. But baby, I loved you more than enough. I'm done with the sweat on my brow. I gave you my loving, my kiss and my touch. You took it all in your stride. You told me it scared you to love me that much. I'm sickened, but baby, you lied. So much of my time, I threw it all down. At your feet, I lay my will. But fuck that shit, darling. You're all alone, drown. Yes, I've taken my pill. You kissed me and fucked me and called me your pup. I loved you and Jesus, I tried. You told me it scared you to love me that much. I'm sickened, but baby, you lied.
And now we have Philip Spillane.
Hello everyone. I'm trying to reach a definition of what loneliness is, because to me, loneliness is like a paradox. In itself, evidence of being lonely is that you're by yourself, and in that, it makes no sense. Badly explained, but anyway. I wrote this in trying to understand it. You got the most beautiful mask I've ever seen. You pretend to be some form of twisted spirit. Your pale hands wrap in madness, but your eyes glisten behind rose-fair plastic skin. And your brown wig of curls that curtains your hidden face delicately. And you play the part of someone cruelly hurt, tormented and troubled, depressed and lost, lonely and by yourself, fat and ugly, where all I see is the most beautiful soul in all the world, wearing the most unique mask, and dances around in self-claimed misery, and his shadow projecting also adds to your buried beauty and rivals the cover-up performance of a petite smile and raving hands. Because life is a song of constant ups and downs, darkness and happiness, and bright happiness melodies. And I can't dance by myself, because I am lonely too. So please, take your mask off and dance with me, to the song of life, to the tormented darkness, but also the bright possibilities. And I'll promise I'll take my mask off too. Thank you very much.
Now we have Helen Kavanagh, and then beside is written Ronan, so I'm not sure if they're going to perform together or what's going to happen, but that's what's down here.
Okay,
Helen Kavanagh, Ronan. All right.
Silly Billy, it's Helen Kavanagh, Ronan. It's the same name. Can you bring this phone a little bit from your hand? I didn't bring one of my own tonight, but I brought one that I think for me is some modern day decent poetry, and I think it's very hard to find nowadays what I call poetry, and I found this recently. It's by Clive James, who is dying at present. But are they lessons, all these things I learn through being so far gone in my decline? The wages of experience I earn would serve as well a younger life than mine. I should have been more kind. It is my fate to find this out, but find it out too late. The mirror holds the ruins of my face roughly together, thus reminding me I should have played it straight in every case, not just when forced to. Far too casually I broke faith when it suited me, and here I am, alone, and now the end is near. All of my life I put my labor first. I made my mark, but left no time between the things achieved, so at my heedless worst, with no life, there was nothing I could mean. But now I have slowed down, I breathe the air as if it were not much more of it there. And write these poems, which are funeral songs that have been taught to me by vanished times, not only to enumerate my wrongs, but to pay homage to the late sublime that comes with seeing how the years have brought a fitting end, if not the one I sought. Thank you.
Apologies for that again. Next up we have Patricia Walls.
Hi, this is a poem for everybody who's hooked up on something they shouldn't have. It's called 28 miles an hour, which is the average speed of the male ejaculation. I should pick my nose more often. Clean my nose again once in a while. Be driverless of vehicles on hospital grounds. Condemned to freedom. Liberated by action. Acute failure on horses, you. Buried in another's ground, a fortress of want. At the high line streets, exercise your courtesy, eschewing the respectable, sugary comfort. Or religion states you, what scripture, for now, for convenience, floating your boat. Half-assed convictions making your point, between drugs and medication, a concoction stilled. Already dissatisfied, you move in like birth. You chase orgasms like butterflies. On being found detective, persistent hanging, a baby's banging, a baby's head to the floor, not repeating the deed. A reconstructed failure of your own volition, avoiding tasks and luxuries like an epidemic state. Cabbie out in the winter, in days of failure, collating your seeds to help you yourself sweet. Your grave is unmarked in my memory. Casual indifference, research fulfilled. Guinea pigs of intercourse, a thing over with. Rejoin the human race, a functioning spirit. Thank you.
And now we have Cedric.
Collective consciousness. A thinker goes to war. This is the last message I send you, my children. I go. I go because I fear. I let them win. I have yet to know, but they will. They already know. They used us against ourselves. The virus spread. Minds became barren. They were no strangers, so we are at fault. He, me, all of us are the one who let them in. We cherished them and cheered, hailed how they grow. They won us over with flattery or bribes, turning it all into a show. Eventually, entertainment wouldn't cut it, so our needs came next. Talking, discovering, learning, sharing, sleeping, finding life and its meaning. Food for the body was always scarce, but that for the mind was different, and they knew. Through the ever deeper mine of history, they dug, thought, and found. the stem of human nature that we share, the fight, the struggle, and the text. The two first could not be mastered, the fire in the flesh, the quake in the water. It could not be subdued until they realized the importance of context. We were lost and afraid. So were they. But they were angrier and greedy. They bribed us once more, the real deal. Made a last offer. Security and order. Strength with the bodies straightened up, steeled up. Ego inflated, then iron out. The existence surrendered, sacrificed for a few to daydream about its meaning. Since let peaches go out along with freedom, soon before anyone knew, so was intimacy. Technology should have made us better, but instead, it got us. Sampled, analyzed, and repeated. Corrupted, we lost our values. We are slaves that accepted alien order and the destruction that ensues. And for those sins, we will pay. And for a better tomorrow, I pray. Without a thought, we wasted all and presented to you this terrible legacy. May you forgive us, my children. We were not strong enough. May you accept to carry our dream only memory, our only seed, however you may grow. Thank you.
And then we have Owen Murray.
Hi, I've rehashed this a lot of times. Maybe this is the last time I'll do it, but this is the latest version of The Woman on the Dunes. She left him, vibrating in his dreams and feeling her contours, still more real, sfumato and all grazia in his dreams. She had crossed the sand into the trees when he awoke, all glue in sand and staring at his hands. Dumbfounded, he searched for her and found her prints, leading him across the tumbling dunes. Dizzier than the sea, he fell down at the wood where she seemed to have took off, clothes and all, into the moon or some bright star, and he wept.
And now on the mic we have Dan Harding.
Once when his wife died, and then he was kind of on his own for a while. And he met a lady whose husband died, and they got together. And then he started suffering from tinnitus. And this is called tintin ampulation. When first he noticed the buzzing sound, it was black winter, snow outside, ice on the windows, freezing the flow of the universe. After the blow of the wind became furious, howling all round, banging on the windows. The devil is after me, he thought, feeling morose, almost paranoid, assuming those people, or was it a person, whistling that lonely tune, were whistling at him, mocking, but slowly his breathing abated and the slim melodies began to hum and murmur into incessant murmurings that soon became total blackness. When they found him swinging in the vacant, silent house, it was noon. Then the clanging, crashing, clamour of the Angelus bells ringing.
And now we have standing up.
Thanks, Cahill. One of the things I've enjoyed about being here for the last couple of years, we've taken on a few road trips to different parts of the country. So I wrote a piece about 10 years ago, about that type of thing, so I've adjusted it for the Ove. 'Twas a bright, beguiling Sunday, with not a single drop of rain, that housed the facts and happenings of this particular tale. Oh, I recall it clearly, as I'm sure you do too, for we travelled it together, the Ove road trip crew. We met outside the Long Valley, but for long we did not dally. For a bus it was awaiting, and Mary O'Connell was quick in stating, "We are going on a mystery tour, and I shall be your guide. So hurry, please, my brethren, for my plan goes far and wide." Mutterings abounded, a few they were not sure of the wisdom of embarking upon a mystery tour. But then Billy Ramsell cried, "That's just my type of thing," and all doubt was erased. And aboard we did spring. Colin McManus occupied the driver's seat, seeking, some claimed, another easy fare. While Rosie grabbed a spacious seat, she had knitting to complete. Madge was all a twitter as she headed to the rear, sketching, she did whisper, requires a vision very clear. Deirdre meanwhile sought a very sheltered nook in which to place her latest, rather fetching, rock star look. Then off we went in mystery till we reached our maiden stop. In Clonard was we landed after a short but peaceful hop. Afford McGlinchey, she was there and met us with a smile and asked for us to visit Spoken Rod just for a while. Next we stopped in Limerick to stanzas we were drawn to be regaled by the drawl of a certain Mr. Vaughan. Ballyferreter was our next call before we swiftly hit for Moy, by which point Mary, well, she was beside herself with joy. Then Christie Parker yelled, "Are we ever going to call to the greatest place on earth, the little town of York?" So much poetry, grumbled Simon, must be breaking laws. "Agreed," muttered John McNally, as Michael struck a harp into his jaw. "And deliver us a tune so sweet our tired souls were lifted from despair and freed of poetry goals." We arrived beneath the clock, just as midnight it was struck, to be startled by the arrival of a dark and putrid shock. A blackened shroud it flitted among all sat on the bus while hissing, "Now, my dears, I have an offer that goes thus. Your souls are all I ask, and for a price you will agree meets all you've ever wanted and all you'll ever need. I'll deliver chapbooks, tomes, fantastic fame, wrapped in massive fortunes and critical acclaim. All I ask of you is to sign here on my chest, and I promise, yes, I promise, I will do the rest." Kieran McCartan was the first up on his feet. "That," he cried, "is a throne on which I am destined to seat. I too," called Colin Scully, "will dine upon that hook, while waving rather wildly a copy of his book." Then Rab, he called for silence, looked the devil in the eye, and whispered Gaelic mutterings none could quite define. 'Twas then, you will remember, that a lightning bolt did clap, and poor Casey, looking vengeful, landed on Baselbub's lap. "Begone, you evil creature," he screeched into the air, "these poets who are mine will not enter your decrepit lair, for we seek nothing more than the key to creation's door, and are happy with our lot, even when we are poor." When Baselbub had vanished, and he did with quite a stench, Paul announced, "It's home time, we have a thirst that must be quenched." So Connor hit the main road at a rate that lacked in grace, and soon we were in Mames Bar, drinking at quite a rate. Now to date, we have not spoken about the things we saw that day, but tonight I must remind you, for I have something to say. Festival season is upon us, soon awards shall be declared, and a nagging doubt that fills me must, with you, I feel, be shared. If at season's ending, when all our writing's done, we find that fame and fortune has bestowed upon just one, would you consider somehow, in a deal done all alone, that Rab has found a way to trade on all our souls?
Okay, and now we have Kieron McCurtain.
At least we have one fan anyway. That was something. This is called Potential. Can you not remember when your chance was there and you could not picture her face? And now her face won't leave your mind, and with every dawning grace is the gentle reminder, some lost and some essential, and the rest well, that's been grasped by the cold hands of potential. Clutched by things unfulfilled and then created with a smile, and then released by chance and left to linger for a while. And though the air is warm, just like that, she is gone. And though no one sees the storm, to you it just seems wrong how someone could walk so uncaring and free without expectations to fulfill or someone else to be. With her smile, the light from shining through, she may look like freedom, but she's nothing else to you, for you've squandered in reflection all that may have been, and pondered in recollection of the things you haven't seen. How could you let it slip, the waking hour, your chance? All that may have been has gone, and so instead you dance, feeling shielded by your bodily movements. A physical lie and an opportunist reunion of love, no potential, and the wonder of speech. All that may have been is just something else out of reach. But when you walk, you smile and let it linger for a while. Who cares if it was wrong? Can't you see it's gone?
I'll be hearing from Charles Clark.
I have a feeling I'm being fairly brave after all this. Something, little prose thing, not hopefully where it ought to be, but there you are. From Ireland's past, some time ago, the Irish Times published an article on the delousing service at Ivy Baths for wartime immigrants. It stirred the memory of a wartime film set in a POW camp. The German commandant addresses the Allied prisoners, "For Christmas, you will be deloused." This is treated with derision. Quite recently, I have come across a reference to a drawing by a French artist, Grenoyer de Sigmonsac, of French soldiers delousing one another during the First World War. A question: were the British too squeamish to perform this service to one another? And indeed, was the social relationship of deloused and delouser known in early 20th century Ireland, or were we too devoted to the use of carbolic soup?
Yeah, we're approaching the end here now. We have Orla D. I think this is Blackthwaite, but I'm not entirely sure. It's Orla, anyway. Yeah.
Name of mine always gets me in trouble. I'm going to try something from... Yeah, I think this happened last weekend, but I'm not really sure. So I thought it... Write it down and see. It's called Public Romance. A kiss on the forehead and a feeling like home, and my heart is blown through office party speakers like a Tom Waits love poem, and I'm speechless watching everybody dance to the sweet revelation of a public romance, and I'm covering my mouth with my hands because he's dancing like Jagger in James Joyce pants, and it's the funniest, most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and I love him. But I don't know what to say later at the coffee machine, so I joke about my future husband while looking at the man of my dreams, and then I walk away and spend the night stealing cheap seat glances and mouthing the words, I fucking love you. The ones that I can't really say out loud, but anyway, in typical office party fashion, he's crashed out of the couch at the end of the night, and I'm making suggestions of a cheap thrill B-movie hotel scene, and I'm taking reason for rejection, and I don't know how to say goodnight as he's leaving me to drown my doubt with the love child of Gareth Hudson and Handel till the cleaners come and the sun's out. So nothing's obvious to me next day, and I'm in my free as a bird chair outside Grogan's Bar trying to find the meaning in words, with my Buddha heart doctor treating the homeless and hitmen of Dublin like they mean something, when all I really want is for him to walk in and say, hey look, this is where Kavanagh and Kelly swapped lines and made a little history out of music and rhyme, but I'm somehow out of time and he's a no-show, and I don't want to go to the late night house party with pill-popping wives trying to escape their husbands who won't let their friends across the door of the This ain't no way to live. Morning, almost perfect blue moon sky turns sour, and he's right. And I'm alone in my unmade bed trying to decipher my heart from my head, and it's need not to break from the need to take a chance on love again. So I drive like a fury through the rain, song lines like lifelines come of a holy headed man, and how he's the one I love, and I'm going to drive and tell him. And so I'm praying his name into the storm till I arrive somewhere close to closing and breathe a sigh because he smiles, and so I upward kiss him and place a feather in his hat and say, could we maybe try this again? And so we walk worn wet shoes through the remnants of the rain, and just for something to say, I complain about my cold feet, when the truth is I've everything I need right here, just me and him and two glasses full of half empty on a quiet country street, walk into the local jukebox, hold down speakeasy, and I just want to dance with him, but it's been years and I've lost my game, till Mina saves the day and tells it like it is, but it doesn't end there because I'm fucking scared and I'm afraid to wake the dream, and it's hard when you know it's love from the start, how to know to remove the mask of art and pork pie hats and secondhand fur skin and stand in the majesty of just letting love in. And it's easier maybe to walk like a bird without wings with a 25-year-old lost poem who thinks it's wise to invite me in for late night whiskey and stop me mid-sentence to kiss me and tell me I'm the most beautiful thing that he's ever seen in this Hobbit-postered flat at the edge of the Shire. And I don't know why I let him lead me on down the hall, but maybe it's just because I know what it's like to be alone. And fuck, I stay there till morning and walk through the rain wondering... I walk my sorry ass through the rain, hoping I'll find the answer to my walk of shame at the bottom of the coffee cup when he shows up again. And he'd swear he'd seen my Judas kiss because he calls my name three times and he invites me for cheese and wine to admire the view we're in. And it's true, I'm in fucking heaven when I'm with you. Yeah. And next thing he's taken to the stage again, and like a boxer he hits the beat, and next thing heaven's on fucking bended knee on the bar and he's looking at me through the camera lens, and I realise he's got our story at the centrepiece of his burden wire heart, and I think mine stopped then. and flooded with a feeling like Jimmy Carter in the Tennessee Heat, and all the scenes flashed before me like how I remembered meeting him well in the Chelsea Hotel, or that time I entered from the cold Toronto snow, a scraggy chick dressed like a crow, and him there leaning on the counter, every inch the Warren Bukowski scene, or the guy on the cover of Aeneas Nin with that most kissable gangster grin and a sign over his shoulder that says, "Welcome to Paradise." Now, I know it's up to me to follow the signs that lead home and to follow the word like you and me, baby, against the world. And I know I've asked you before and you said that you were married to the road. No, and you said the road is your life, but let me be your gypsy. Let me be your gypsy. Let me be your gypsy wife.